If you turn in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 7, Gospel of John, and John chapter 7, let's pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us, being in us, ministering to us, revealing to us the Father's love and the love of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we want to give you honor tonight. We want to give you the glory that's due you. Father, we want to honor you as God. We want to honor you as God in our lives. So thank you for sending yourself. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our minds. God, we thank you that without you, Holy Spirit, we couldn't understand. Without you, Holy Spirit, we couldn't know you, God. So, Father, thank you for Jesus coming, dying on the cross, and saving us from our sins. But thank you also, Holy Spirit, for coming and dwelling in us until that day. In Christ's name, amen. John chapter 7 tonight. I just want to cover a few things about the Holy Spirit. I felt like it was time to do that a little bit. And we may do a couple of weeks, seeing as a few folks are missing. But I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and His role in the church today. Because I think that the Holy Spirit has been a lot of times, sadly, we've put Him kind of in a corner and asked Him only to move when it's convenient. You know, during worship, the Holy Spirit can move if He wants. And, you know, maybe sometimes during the message, you know, we feel like we sense the Holy Spirit when somebody says amen. But how many know the Holy Spirit is God and He desires to move through and in us? And the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God is. He is God. And, you know, if just to do a little background on why the Holy Spirit is with us, you know, if you lived in the Old Testament, you and I were in the Old Testament days, if you wanted to see God, you either went to the mountain before the children of Israel got to Jerusalem. You went to the mountain and God was there. And He spoke from the mountain and Moses went up to see Him. And, you know, Joshua kind of got halfway up the mountain, but nobody really saw God face to face except Moses. And then he came down with a veil over his face. You know the story. But if you wanted to see God, and up until the time the tabernacle was built and after the tabernacle was built, if you wanted to go and see God or be in the presence of God, you went to the tabernacle. You went to the Holy of Holies. You went, at least if you were like us, just folks like us, we got to get in the outer court. You could get near the presence of God and, you know, the pillar of fire and the cloud and all of that. And then in the New Testament, if you wanted to hear God and know God, you went to Jesus. 3.5 years He walked the earth. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Christ. If you wanted to see God, talk to God. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if you know God, if you know me, you know the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so if you wanted to talk with God, God was available through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said something at the end of His ministry before He was crucified. He said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you someone just like me. When I go, I'm going to go to the Father. It's my time. I'm going to give my life for the sins of the world. Then I'm going to go to the Father. And when I get there, I'm sending you someone exactly like me, an exact replica of me, but in the Spirit. And so He sent the Holy Spirit to us. And God communicates with His church through His Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Jesus thought it was so important that He didn't do anything publicly until He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit came upon Him. And then He disappeared for 40 days and got some tempting out of the way and fought the devil and got that out of the way. But He came back. The Scripture says something very interesting. He came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And He was led by the Spirit over and over and over again. So in John 7:38, He says, He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so we see exactly what I just talked about. When Jesus got to heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit. When Christ was on the earth, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to His followers. They had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. But he did in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. That they did through the Holy Spirit. But they hadn't been filled with the Spirit yet. The power was given, but not the Holy Spirit himself, which he said would be given to equip the church for the task of evangelizing. And that's really what the Holy Spirit's job is. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit leads us. But really what he's looking to do is tell others about him through you and me. Come on. When we witness to somebody, when we talk to somebody, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through us. Hopefully. In John 14:26, you can turn over there. John 14:26. John 14 and verse 26. Beginning in verse 25, actually, we'll start there. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you, to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is sent to us to teach us all things. Isn't that wonderful? He will teach you all things. And so any question we have, we pray to the Father, but the Holy Spirit gives us the answer. Jesus in his prayer that he gave us the model prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We're praying to the Father, but the Holy Spirit is the energizer that gives us the answer from the Father. Amen. And so he deserves our respect, our love, our attention, our worship. We should never put the Holy Spirit off to the side in any way, shape, manner, or form. Turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Same book, chapter 20. And verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And so this was the first time that we see the Holy Spirit was given to the group of people, the disciples. They weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. We'll get there in a few minutes. But the Holy Spirit was given to them. And so the Holy Spirit resided in them from that moment on. And I want to make it very clear. When you're saved, you get the whole package. Again, you get the Father, you get the Son, and you get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in every believer. But he so much wants to do more than reside in us. He wants to be Lord over us. Now, that's a choice. You don't have any choice when you say, Father, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, write my name in the book of life. You don't get to say, Father, you can come. Jesus, you can come. But Holy Spirit, I don't want you. You don't get to say, Holy Spirit, you go on. Everybody else, you go. You get the Holy Ghost. If you've got the Father, you've got the Son, you've got the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit so much wants to be asked to baptize you, to cover you, to strengthen you, to give you all the tools that you need. And that's why Jesus didn't do anything until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The disciples didn't do anything until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to those who believed. All who believe receive the Holy Spirit. The reception of the Holy Spirit happens when we receive Christ. Again, the Trinity comes to reside in our heart. Of course, the Holy Spirit is operative in conversion immediately, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present in conversion to introduce the unbeliever to Jesus Christ as Savior. And you can't say Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Holy Spirit is in you. So there, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience as indicated by Scripture. And that's the next step. The Holy Spirit is just waiting with bated breath, if you will. He's just waiting to be asked to be Lord of your life. Amen. Just waiting for that. We say, well, God's already the Lord of my life. But there's another step that is so forgotten and so put to the side, especially in this kind of modern church. You know, we want things to happen quickly and, you know, we'll go to church for an hour and go home and that's fine. But the Holy Spirit wants to be Lord of our life. And when he does, he takes over. Spoiler alert. When we ask him, he takes over. Luke chapter 24:49 says this, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The last command of Christ was to wait for the power before carrying out the command. Many people say, well, they already had the Holy Spirit. They didn't need that. But Jesus said, you got to wait until you're endued with power. You already have the Holy Spirit, but now the Holy Spirit is going to come from here to being Lord of your life. I'd love to have been there in that prayer meeting. I don't know about you. 10 days of prayer, they were asking for the Holy Spirit. God, give us the promise. We're ready to go, but you said we couldn't go until the promise came. The power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary if we're going to win this generation. Because we are so earthly minded in all that we do. We try to come up with new ways to talk to people about Jesus. Come on. Who better to talk about Jesus than the Holy Spirit? Amen. Who better? The Holy Spirit. Because I can't just blanket, I didn't come to Christ the way you came to Christ. Why? Because we're different people. I don't have time to figure out how to talk to everybody. You know, sometime in my life, I took a 6-week course on personalities. So, you know, certain personalities are certain, you deal with them a certain way. And when you're in sales, when you're in business with them, you talk to them differently, you act differently. How many know? We don't have time to do that. We just don't have time to figure out what makes everybody tick. But the Holy Spirit within us figures it out. We do weird things. One person, they may come to the Lord because you serve them, because you give them gifts, or because you take care of them when they're sick, or that you love them, or that you tell a joke. A million different mixtures. But the Holy Spirit knows. Being filled with the Spirit of God is a frequent occurrence in the life of a believer. You and I are filled all the time with the Lord. We should be. A couple of examples, Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people, of elders and of Israel. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit there in the book of Acts, again in Acts chapter 4. And Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Has anybody ever been in a building when it shook? We were once. Terry and I were once in Dallas. We were in with Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and Dave Wilkerson. And the building actually shook under the power of God. True story. Actually shook. Thought it was an earthquake. But it was just the power. It was just the power and anointing of God. Doesn't happen that often. But how many know? Maybe it should. This is God touching earth. I don't want to get weird. I'm not saying, you know. But that's God. The place where they were assembled together was shaken under the power of God. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3 says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. What was one of the criteria to be used of God? You had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you weren't, forget it. You weren't a candidate. Hello. The baptism of the Spirit should be ministered to more people than we do. While we cannot put God in a box, we must remember that the baptism is a distinct thing that happens apart from salvation. We don't want to push it on somebody, but we do want to present it. I believe the baptism in the Holy Spirit can and should be ministered to those that are born again as a vital anointing that empowers and fills the believer against the things of the world. So often we witness to somebody, we get them saved, we invite them to church. They begin to come to church, they begin to read the Bible, and invariably they're going to get attacked. I'm not trying to be negative, they're going to get attacked because, oh, this isn't true, God doesn't hear my prayers. There's a million different things can happen. Why? The devil is trying to attack. The devil tries to attack us, tell us, hey, this isn't real, God's not real. And with the baptism in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knows what to do. He comes right to the forefront and he goes, turn here, read this. Call this person. Do this. It's okay. It's going to be all right. You're going to make out okay. Now, is the Holy Spirit in there? Yes, he's in there. But he's so wanting to be the Lord because when you say, I want baptized in the Holy Spirit, he knows his role. We're going to talk about being immersed in the Spirit. Paul, whenever he met people, Paul who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, whenever he met people, he didn't hesitate to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to anyone. That was the first thing out of his lips. And so often we kind of put that on the back shelf. Well, you know, people, let's get people saved and let's just ease them into it. And then we'll talk about the Holy Spirit later. Well, that's like saying 2/3 of God is, you know, God's cool, Jesus is cool, but the Holy Spirit, you know, we just kind of, we wait. No, the Holy Spirit should be ministered the same. But he's God. Paul, as soon as he met the disciples in Acts chapter 19, turn there, Acts 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts is right after the book of John. Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, verse 1. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And so they said to him, "We have not as much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." In verse 3 it says, "And he said to them, into what then were you baptized?" And so they said, "Into John's baptism." They had been water baptized. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them." Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. "Having believed, did you receive?" Paul said. You believed, now did you receive? See, controversial issues do not excuse us from preaching the whole counsel of God. When we're witnessing to somebody and we lead them to the Lord and they say a prayer with us and we introduce them to Christ, if we don't minister the Spirit to them, the Holy Spirit to them, we say, "You're saved," but protection comes later. Leading comes later. That's God's way of communicating with you as a new believer, but the power you can't handle right now. And nothing could be further from the truth. We want to minister the power as soon as that happens. Amen? As soon as that happens, we're introducing them to the Lord. It's not a badge. It is a cross, a commission, a call to radical obedience. An endowment, true Holy Ghost power is ours. What kind of power? To enable us to heal the sick and do miracles? If you read the New Testament, the disciples were already doing that. Before they received the Holy Spirit. Weren't they? Come on. Don't look at me like that. They didn't receive. God gave them, Jesus gave them power, but he didn't say receive the Holy Spirit until late in John, late in the ministry. When he was raised from the dead, he said receive the Holy Spirit. So who used them? They were used by God because Jesus gave them the power. Was it to enable them to preach? The disciples were already doing that. He sent them out two by two and he says, "Go and preach the kingdom of God." And so they were preaching. But they're baptized in the Holy Spirit for what? He said, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence, and ye shall be my witnesses." So what are we filled with the Holy Spirit for? To be witnesses. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us. The Greek word actually for witnesses is martyr. It really is. The Greek word for witnesses is martyr. One who dies, suffers, or sacrifices everything for a principle or cause. Ooh, I don't know. Boy, that's tough. That's setting the bar rather high. We are called to be living sacrifices. Hebrews says, Romans 12, offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice. So whenever we're seeking, and some in the church here, some of you tonight may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm encouraging you to seek after that gift. It's a gift. It's a free gift, just like salvation. You don't have to do anything except be saved. If you're not saved, you can't have the baptism. But if you are, the Holy Spirit's saying, "Man, I want to come to the center. I want to come to the front. I want to baptize." When we baptize people, and we're going to have baptism on Sunday, people go under the water. So they're completely saturated with water. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're completely saturated with the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a result of being filled, these things happen. You get more godly and you have more brotherly love. Not self-love, but all of a sudden you have a love for people. Come on. I don't know about you. Like I said, it was tough for me to really, as a pastor, understand where people had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, not been filled with the Holy Spirit, because 3 days after I got saved, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's always been there for me. But I didn't like anybody. Before I got saved, I hated everybody. And after I got saved, I loved everybody. I couldn't understand it, but it's a result of being filled. Also, you get more joy and peace. You're not looking inside, you're looking outside. You're looking at how you can minister to other people, but you do it in joy and peace. The baptism is not an end in itself. And that's what stops a lot of people, because you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can't wear it as a badge. It actually makes you a servant of all. It's a means to an end. The fruit of the Spirit happens naturally, because the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. All those things the Holy Spirit knows well how to do. It's just getting it through this strainer right here. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever run a vacuum cleaner? It's all stuffed up. Shh. You know, and then sometimes the old bags used to burst and get all over the place. You forgot to change the bag. Anybody ever had that problem? And when you clean the tank out, when you clean it all up and you get it running again, the Holy Spirit knows how to love people. He knows how to witness people. He knows how to do those things. He's just trying to get it through this tough filter of us. That's all he needs to do. Let's look together at the evidence in Scripture in seeking and receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Bing. He just said, you wait, and when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to be my witnesses. And he's gone. So in Acts chapter 2, we'll look in the book of Acts. Actually, there's seven places I want to talk about. And one of the things that we get kind of hesitant to talk about is the prayer language that is ours. See, prayer language is ours, but we get weird about it because Hollywood has made it something else. People, even religious people, have made it something else. But praying in the Holy Spirit is one of the dearest, most powerful things that we can have. It is. And it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. That's wild. It's wild that God allows us to pray to Him in a language we didn't learn. And it's ours for the taking. It's not forced upon us. Never seen anybody speak. I've got two. You've probably heard my testimony, but I got two that's really neat. One is a friend of mine. He was here last year. Pastor Bill Foy was a missionary to Africa and baptizing people in water. They had a baptism service down on the river. And so they were down on the river, and he baptizes this lady, and she comes up speaking in English, perfect English. And so she had never learned English, but that was her prayer language when she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they would have service, and they would be worshiping in whatever the language was there. I forget what it's called. Forget what the language is called. But she'd be speaking in English. She couldn't speak English any other time, but when she was praising God, she'd say, "Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." You know, all of that. And so it was a miracle. It was a miracle. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Well, let's start in 1. "The day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Notice that it filled the house, then it filled them. The Holy Spirit, He filled the house, then He filled them. Just an aside there. You can do a little study on that. "Then there appeared in verse 3 to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." As something I want to break down just a little bit. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so the Spirit of God is just anxiously wanting us to connect with the Father. And they begin to praise, because in Corinthians it says, "He who prays in an unknown tongue prays to God." One of the big mistakes in Pentecostal churches is we think tongues is meant for each other. So we can wear it, you know, "Listen to me pray in tongues." Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Father, because it's His language. It'd be like if somebody was here and they were Spanish and I was speaking Spanish to you that don't understand, it wouldn't make any sense. But if I'm speaking to somebody in Spanish, they understand. And so tongues is a way for us to pray to the Father through His heavenly language. So we're speaking to Him and we're being built up. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Acts 4:31, let's turn over there. The instances of the early church being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 and 31 says, And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There was no tongues there, but we'll go on. Acts 8:18. Acts 8:18. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 8:18. Then they laid hands on them in verse 17, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now, tongues aren't mentioned there, but it's implied there. Why would he want to pay for it? He must have heard something that he had never heard before. Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. Acts 9 and 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. Acts 10:46. Acts 10:46 says, in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What was the gift? Gift was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other languages. Acts 13:52. Acts chapter 13 and 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Tongues aren't mentioned there. And then the last one, Acts 19 verse 6. Beginning in verse 4, back where he's talking to the disciples, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. There you go. So 4 out of 7 times tongues were used. And so although we can't say every time, we can say that's a bunch of times. And so it's available to all of us. As a matter of fact, Paul says, "I speak with tongues more than you all. I thank God I speak in tongues more than everyone." Acts 2:4 says they all spoke with tongues. They had to take a step in faith. So the premise that you have in that blank under there, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never take control of you. People are afraid when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they say, "Well, the Holy Spirit will make me do things I don't want to do and speak through me and I don't want to speak." No, that's Hollywood. That's Hollywood. That's not God. There's never a place. And let me reiterate, so many times I hear, especially in full gospel or Pentecostal churches, I hear people say, "I was out of control. I just couldn't help myself. God just took over my body." That's not God. That is not God. God will never take you where you don't want to go and use you where you don't want to be used. That is not God. That's the enemy. Come on, somebody. That's ridiculous. And a lot of people believe that. They shake and they quake and they do all kinds of things. "Well, I couldn't help myself." Well, yes, you could. You choose to do that. And that's a choice. God honors us by allowing us a choice. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You shall be my witnesses," not my prisoners. Okay? All you need to be is born again, and you're a candidate for the baptism in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He will speak for himself if you let him. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you let him, he'll speak. If you don't want him to speak, he's not going to take your vocal cords and make you say things you don't want to say or do things, again, that you don't want to do. Praying in spirit is perfect prayer, for it is led by God himself. Spirit-inspired prayer can happen in English as well as tongues. But when it does, when we pray in the spirit, I've said it many times, you know, we say, "God, bless my wife, bless my children, bless all my friends, bless them." And we get to a place where we just start repetitive praying. God says, "No, I want to use you for something. I want to use you to pray. And will you pray?" And we begin to pray as the Spirit gives us utterance. And we don't know what we're praying, but it's none of our business, because God is activating his kingdom through our conversation with him. And the side benefit is we get built up. He who prays in an unknown tongue, the scripture says, builds himself up. edifies himself. That's like going to the gym and lifting weights. Man, we start getting buff. And we get buff in the Holy Spirit. And there's a confusion. I don't want to get into it too much tonight, but there's a confusion, and I just want to go back over it, about tongues, that only people, when you speak in tongues, there has to be an interpretation. That's the gift. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of tongues. Very few people have that. Only a few people have the gift of tongues, and then somebody interprets it. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But praying in our own unknown language to the Lord is between me and God. I'm not going to stand beside you and shout in tongues again. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to God. And I'm edifying myself. Private devotions. I thank God, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. If you were next to Paul when Paul was praying, he prayed in the Holy Spirit. Jude verse 20 says, pray and praise to God, edifying yourself. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans 8, because we want to really get to some of the things the Holy Spirit does as a result of being living in us as president. He goes from being just resident to being president in our lives, and he comes with many, many benefits. Romans 8, verse 26. Number one, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this takes on three different viewpoints. Groanings cannot be uttered. Sometimes it's English. Sometimes we understand. Sometimes it's just calling out to God. How many know sometimes you just get so desperate for the Lord, just groan to Him. You just say, God. And it's the Holy Spirit using us to get connected to God and hear His will for our lives. And that's how He chose to do it. It's how He chose to communicate with us through the Holy Spirit. In verse 27 says, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, several things there. He knows the mind of the Spirit. Romans 8:27, what we just read. Romans 8:27, He searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And then in verse 27, it also says, He knows the will of God. Now again, I could pray and pray and pray and say, God, what is your will? God, what is your will? God, what is your will? And the Holy Spirit says, shut up. I know the will of God. If you just wait on me, I'll tell you what God wants to do in your life. I know the will of God. I'm connected to Him and I'm connected to you. We spend a lot less time praying about things that God has already supplied. So He knows the will of God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. He speaks mysteries. And so the Holy Spirit speaking mysteries, it's something being worked out by God through us for the kingdom of God. And he speaks to, and we speak to God, not to other people. Ephesians 6:18, we speak in the Spirit. We speak in the Spirit realm. Praying in tongues is therapy for our spirit man. Number one, it liberates us. It frees the Spirit in your life. If you could take just 15 minutes out of the day and just do nothing but pray in the Spirit. And the fun thing about that is you can do that while you're doing something else. And you're building yourself up. It's like going to the gym and listening to Fox News, which I did the other day, and it caused me to have bad dreams. Anyway, I won't talk about that. But it liberates, it frees the Spirit in your life. Number two, it gives new freedom in the Spirit. Number three, the energy of God is released in our lives. There's a connection. It's like when my wife and I spend time together in the morning in prayer and conversing, it connects us. See, we're joined together in the Spirit. And man, I just love spending time with her. The same thing happens when we pray in the Spirit to the Father. It connects us to Him. And we know His will. The energy of God is released in our life. Number four, it builds your vocabulary in the Spirit. You go places in the Holy Spirit you could never do in English. You could just never do it in English. And you just have to have faith when you're praying. And it can get, you know, the devil would love to trip us up. But we want to stay close to the Lord. Number five, the Holy Spirit fights your battles. Because He knows how to battle. Not only does He know God's will, not only does He know you inside and out, so He's communicating with God. When the enemy attacks, we've got a built-in alarm. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fights for us, prays for us. Victories, number eight. Victories are won in the Spirit by praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues. And number nine, of course, it edifies, it builds us up. Also, being baptized in the Holy Spirit enhances spiritual growth. Because it's the fast track to know God's will. Now, do you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? No. Do you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be in the family of God? No, you don't. But what you do need, if you want to grow in the Holy Ghost and get the fast track in God's will, that's the Holy Spirit says, I'm the one. Just ask me. Number 11, it's communion with the Father, because that's how the Father decided to communicate. If you want to get a hold of me, there's only one way to get a hold of me. If you want to talk to me and I'm not present with you, you've got to call me on the phone. And I don't have a home phone, so you've got to call me on the phone. So the way that I desire to communicate with everybody in my life is you call me on my phone. The way that God desires to communicate with us, the best way to communicate with us, is through His Holy Spirit. There's other ways, but it takes a long time to work through our flesh and everything else. Holy Spirit says, let me give you the fast track. I know God's will. Everybody can speak in tongues. It's up to you. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I get this question all the time. I've asked for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I didn't get it because I don't speak in tongues. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you ask for the baptism in the Spirit, you say, Father, I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. God baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. It's done. Why? Because you've asked in faith. And just because you're not praying in tongues does not mean that you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, never pray in tongues. They can, but they don't. Come on, somebody. And so if you're ever ministering to somebody and they come to you and say, you know, I asked for the baptism of the Spirit and I never got it, please correct them and say, yes, you got it. Because what that does is build doubt in us. Say, well, I asked the Father, but He didn't give it to me. So He either doesn't like me or He was busy at the time or something. No, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So all we have to do is ask, bum, bang, it's ours. According to Scripture, it is God's will for everyone to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says this. What's it say? I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. And then number two, speaking in tongues strengthens and edifies the believer. 1 Corinthians 14:4, you're edifying yourself. He who speaks in tongues is praying in the Spirit. And then number four, speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit is a divinely inspired means of praying effectively for others. Romans 8:26-27, groaning within us, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to pray this way. And we're just used of God in that moment to pray somebody's safety, pray somebody into the kingdom, pray a change of heart for somebody, save a marriage, whatever God wants you to do, you're praying in the Spirit, and God is effectively using you for that task. You know, the charge of emotionalism has caused many people to fear that they might lose control of themselves again if they spoke in tongues. Nothing could be further from the truth. Let me put your mind at ease. You're not going to do that. But as we said before, the Holy Spirit does not force us to do anything. You can be sure that any spirit which compels you to do anything, again, is not from God. People who are afraid that they might do something embarrassing or speak in tongues at the wrong time have failed to realize that the act of speaking in tongues is always under the control of the one speaking. You know, I pray with pastors around the community. Wonderful things are happening out of that. Thank you for your prayers. We prayed yesterday together. About six of us got together from the community. And we're having a prayer meeting at the high school April 15th, high school auditorium. We're bringing all the churches together to pray for revival. So you don't want to You don't want to miss that. You want to get together for that. That's going to be awesome. But ask me how many times I prayed in tongues around those guys. Zero. Why? Because I'm not looking to offend anybody. Now, I pray in the Spirit under my breath, but I'm not looking to offend or have people ask questions, because something that's okay. They're my brothers. They're in the Lord. And so it's all right. But the Holy Spirit's not going to come upon me and make me speak in tongues and embarrass people that maybe are not open to that kind of thing. The Holy Spirit is always a gentleman. The person, not the Holy Spirit, decides when he will speak out and whether he will speak in tongues quietly or aloud. That's under control of your own. God doesn't come upon you again and make you do things. The very fact that Paul gives strict instructions about how and when speaking in tongues is to be manifested in a public meeting clearly indicates that the one speaking is in control, for Paul's instructions would be worthless otherwise. So, you know, when we come together in worship, we hear tongues, we wait for the interpretation. That's a totally different thing than your prayer language to the Lord. So I just wanted to call attention to that, because we are a full gospel church. We do believe the Holy Spirit will use us in those ways. And if you're here and you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'd love to pray for you. So we're going to close in prayer. We'll have some time for questions here if you like. I'm here for you. We're here to believe with you. I'm going to ask the Lord to fill you when we pray. That's fine. I'll do that. But to those of us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, we need to take it up another notch. We need to be praying in our language. We need to be praying in the Spirit, building ourselves up, because the days, if nobody noticed, the days are getting darker. You know, days are getting longer now and the light's lasting longer, but the days in the Spirit are not so light. They're getting dark. So we have to pray.